Welcome to Back Fence Unhinged, a conversational charcuterie board to leisurely enjoy along with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged story about an unforgettable night on the town from Alina Aliar. Then comes the second unhinged part. We'll ask Alina some questions about said story and maybe even share a story or two of our own. Who are we?
Well, one of us is, I'm floating in Seattle right now. And I'm Frayne.
Frayne. And I'm Andrew. How are you, Frayne?
I'm good. It's good to be here. Inviting another storytelling guest in on our show, which is always so exciting.
So exciting. So, hey, I have a question for you. When is the last time you stayed up all night and saw the sun rise?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't the last time, but I'll tell you about a memorable time, which is when I was 23. I had the very sad experience of having to move home again for a few months, and with my parents, and it was really weird. I still had at that age a very immature relationship with my parents, and even though they were letting me stay at their house, I felt a little bit entitled, I guess, in a lot of ways. And one night I was coming home and, I'd done an improv show and we'd gone out for like that weird late night breakfast that you do when you're 23 and you have a whole bunch of hash browns and eggs.
Because
you've been eating a lot, you need some grease to absorb it all. And so I was arriving back home to my parents' house at about 5 a.m., something like that, 5 or 5:30 a.m., and just as I was about to put the key in the door swings open, and there stands both of my parents.
Both?
Yes. Not because they'd waited up for me, because that would not be something that they did.
Oh, okay.
It was because my mom was traveling, was about to fly out for a tennis tournament. So she's in her tennis garb holding tennis rackets, and they're about to go to the airport. And it was just this moment of us staring at each other, and just like nothing was said.
I was actually hoping that no words were spoken.
No words were spoken because we really
just a nod.
We did not have any kind of relationship in which there could be a conversation that was spoken in that moment.
Completely so, different lives being lived.
Yep, exactly, and. It's just, and then we just both, I went inside and they went outside and I went to bed and, my dad took my mom to the airport.
And, to go play tennis.
Yeah. And she went and played tennis. And my dad, I think, came home and did the lawn.
Nice. Nice.
And maybe I threw up. I don't know.
Possibly.
Me,
I go to bed early. I can't even remember the last time I was up till 2, but I pulled a lot of all-nighters in college. That was my strategy. I had a cassette that was all 3 Pixies albums, and I had one of those tape decks that it would just play it over and over again, and I just would write papers till the wee hours and then go right to class, turn it in, go to bed.
I really feel like every time the two of us tell stories, you can tell the trajectory of our lives.
Frayne's always a little more exciting. I'm always a little more boring. But speaking of excitement, Frayne, who is our guest today?
Let me introduce you to Alina Aliar. She's a realtor, storyteller, and proud parent of 2 adult-sized teenagers. She's also a recipient of the 1987 Shakey's Pizza Reading Award. We need to hear more about that, Alina, and welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. I remember Shakey's intimately. It was like the baller pizza place.
Yeah.
Sure.
I
don't actually remember any of it. I found a certificate in a box of memorabilia that was, passed on to me by my parents of like, deal with this stuff. And I saw it. And I was like, this should be framed. But I don't remember.
Did you frame it?
No, I haven't yet.
You should really.
I know.
That should be like on the list for this week.
I know. It feels like a little bit, it would be intimidating to other people when they saw it.
I mean, that's like a front hallway piece.
Obviously, yeah.
It is. Yeah. I think it also needs to be blown up and be very large.
Yeah, it's not even a full sheet of paper size. It's like a quarter of a sheet of paper.
Oh, like 30 by 40, I'm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, you know, they're probably kind of cut in some corners in 1987 at Shakey's Pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
introduction of dominoes and everything else.
You know, and Reagan did a number on the economy everything. In general, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good. It was good boom times for pizza, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really when the whole pizza thing, I think, really took off.
Yeah. I'm surprised that when he was president, like, just reading wasn't canceled. You know what I mean? So that,
right. So it was also the time.
The last reading award.
Remember those great reading posters that had different celebrities at the library?
No.
No. Oh, maybe that was a Maryland thing. But they were national celebrities. So I don't, and maybe it was, maybe you guys were just both reading and you didn't notice the posters.
We didn't. Or maybe Maryland had a bloated reading budget.
Yeah, reading promotion budget. Well, Alina, do you maybe have a story about staying up late and having fun?
I do, which is surprising because I, you know, 9 p.m. is midnight. And so it was actually, so it's the story starts at 9 p.m., which was midnight, but in
your bedtime.
Yeah, in Jaipur in India. So this is March 2025. My stepsister is getting married, and my sister and I traveled and made like a 2-week trip where we're like, trying to see a bunch of places, and we're traveling. It's 9 p.m. in Jaipur. It's the first day we get there. You know, we had already been through a lot. We had early morning flight with my cousin and his wife, my cousin-in-law, which, you know,
and like, I don't even know that's a thing. It is.
This is, you know, we all have different definitions of family. So my cousin and my cousin-in-law, we're sitting down and we had dinner, and like that whole day was a lot. We had traveled that morning, and so we're, you know, gross, and like there's like layers of sweat and DEET and like city on us. We had gone and toured things, and it's 9 p.m. and we're supposed to meet with my cousin-in-law's cousin.
Oh yeah, okay.
It just keeps going. Family's big.
We're bowing the branch of the family tree right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. So we're supposed to meet up with them, and we're like, none of us are talking to each other because we don't have words anymore. We're just sitting there trying not to fall asleep. And my cousin-in-law looks up and says, "Do you guys know who Punjabi MC is?" And we all say, "Yes." "Do you guys know who Punjabi MC is?"
"No."
"Okay, like 20 years ago, he had this song, Mundian Tobake, which he mixed with Jay-Z. And like, since then, you can basically hear that song anytime there's an Indian wedding on any television show for the past 20 years.
That's the song.
That's the song that plays. So we're all like, yes. It's like, well, he's my cousin just invited us. He's spinning 600 meters away.
Amazing.
Yeah, which I don't know. Do you know how far a meter is?
I'm going to say you can walk.
Yeah, exactly. We could walk over. So we go there. And remember, we're all really gross. We've been like wearing our travel clothes. We're not like... We're like dressed like tourists with fanny packs, not like, let's go to a, like an outdoor club and see, you know. But we
have
go
visors on?
My sister might have had a visor.
Oh, God.
Probably.
Oh,
she's no. really into her skincare routine and sun protection. So, yeah,
there's a high chance.
There's a high chance there is a visor. But we go over there, and of course, we're like, 30 years older than everyone else there, right? Everyone's young, and Jaipur's like, is very fancy. It's like people are dressed nicely and whatever. And then you have these like four grubby tourists, these four old grubby tourists come in.
Wearing uncool trainers, perhaps?
Exactly. Definitely there were some Hokas being worn, you know?
Our sponsor, by the way.
Oh, thank you. No.
Soon to be.
I wish.
And we go and, but we're very excited because none of us care. And, you know, we're all out past our bedtime at this point. And we start dancing, and my sister and I are like, we're taking like 500 pictures of the DJ. And then we start making fun of this old man who's like in the corner dancing, right? And then my cousin-in-law is like, you know what? I'm going to go say hi to Punjabi MC because, so she grew up in Bahrain And 20 some years ago, her brother had the job of picking him up from the airport and showing him around. And he basically, you know, got him some substances and they had a good time. And
right,
so she's like, I'm going to see if he remembers him. So she goes and introduces herself, not to the person who's DJing, but the old man my sister and I were making fun of, because, of course, that's actually Punjabi MC.
You've been making fun of.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Also, it's a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black, right? Because you're there in hokas and you're making fun of someone else.
I never said I was a good person. I've never claimed that. I've never claimed to be the bigger person ever. So we go and we're like, oh, that's who it is. So we go introduce ourselves. At this point, Punjabi MC, because it's loud and all that, has misinterpreted my cousin-in-law's story and now remembers she was the one who like took him around. So he's got his arm around her. She's like, this is my sister.
Oh my God.
This is my best friend.
No. Oh no.
And like introducing her and all of us to like his whole entourage, because there's all these like English and Australian DJs that are there. So we're like in the celebrity pool.
Amazing.
And yeah, which is pretty exciting. And there's like one guy who's like probably 30 and it's taken quite the liking to my sister. He was English and he had this very like nipple forward thin t-shirt on that said boss man on it. So he was very memorable.
Almost Braille, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. It was great. So we're all there and, my cousin is there and her husband, which I guess that's like a cousin-in-law twice removed.
Wow. The branch is nearly breaking on that.
We're basically, it's just shrubbery at this point. It's just a collection of shrubbery. But we've got, Punjabi MC is like, well, we have to go, but you should come with us to this party in the desert. And it's already several hours past our bedtime and we all kind of look at each other and, you know, like we should be old enough to know better, but we're like, no, yes, we're all going to go. The cousin-in-law's cousin is going to drive us all. But so we're going to head over there. It's like, oh, but first we need to go get some drinks. And, you know, like culturally, you bring gifts to people's houses when you go to that. So I'm thinking, like, is that what we have to go bring something to be like nice guests for this event? So we go to the...
This decorum should never be left behind, even when you're about to party all night.
Exactly. We're not uncivilized. So we go to my cousin-in-law's cousin, whatever, we go to their apartment and he takes this like nice bottle of scotch and a bunch of glasses, like glass glasses and ice and packs them and we get into the car. And now.
What a nice gift.
It is. It's a lovely gift. You know, you'd think the ice would melt, but whatever. And
sure.
Yeah. And so we're going to drive over there. Now, like driving in India is insane. There's not really traffic rules. Like everyone's just kind of like honking and beeping and there's cars and big trucks and auto rickshaws and motorcycles and elephants and like all that going on.
Wow.
So you have that. You also have there's a lot of us jammed in this car. There's like five people or there's four of us in the back seat that's not made for four people. And then, you know, my cousin and the two people up front driving. And so the husband of the cousin-in-law's cousin, is driving, but just pours himself like a full glass of scotch.
Oh,
not like a finger or two fingers, like a full glass of scotch. So he's just drinking a glass of scotch as we're driving.
I'm assuming on the rocks because of the ice.
Yes. Yes, of course. Because, you know.
Semi-diluted, but still.
Exactly. Just like, and there are like checkpoints when we drive and all sort, like it's just insanity. And we're like, oh, this was not a good idea.
Maybe we should have come back to the hotel.
What kind of checkpoints?
I don't really know what they're, because I don't really speak Hindi particularly well or at all. I can say like three things, but they like just stop you and look at you and see what's going on. And he's just like has his glass of scotch, just drinking it.
They're okay with that.
They seem to be fine. I don't
carry on, sir.
Yeah, I don't really know what was going on there, but you know, but we make it. We actually make it to the like this desert fortress is what it feels like. There's a gate, and we get in there, and you know, at this point, like we're all very well. I am very sober. My sister and my cousin, all of us are very sober at this point because it's like, what is going on?
Where are we? Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, we shouldn't have done this. But we go in, and again, if everyone was like, everyone's like an extra 10 years younger than we are at this location. So like they're closer to our children's age than they are to us. And then these random collection of DJs. So it's overwhelming. We're tired. So we don't actually like stay inside and listen to the music. We're just walking around the grounds like idiots, making jokes. And then Punjabi MC comes and finds us and has to hang out with his sister and his best friend.
And of course.
Yeah. And I don't know if like the rest of his entourage was just like worried we were going to kidnap him or what, but they all start to join us and whatnot. And he's just talking about like he just seems sad. Like, you know, we're the only ones who really understand him and we're really connected and
wow.
whatnot. And then at some point, it just starts feeling sad.
Oh,
so we're like, okay, yeah. It's time for us to go home, and everyone's saying their goodbyes. And Boss Man, of course, who's really, really taken a liking to my sister, looks at her. He's like, you know, I just love you. We all got to connect again. And I kind of chuckle a little. He's like, no, not like that. I don't mean sexually. I mean platonically. Unless you want to be sexual, I'll lick you all over. Which is quite the offer to
yeah.
say in front of everyone. My sister's just like, I have a lot of DEET on me. yeah. So that was our night, and you know, we made it, and that was it, and I don't need to ever do that again.
Was there something poetic in that sad moment where you were walking around with him and you were like the only ones to understand him? Is there any reflection back on you all making fun of him? And like, oh, now we're now joined him in like this moment, or no?
I mean, I think there's not, I think we're all supposed to go to bed at 9 is really what I've learned. I'm like, because otherwise we get sad and cranky, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But also you would have missed out on all this craziness, right? And your sister got hit on by this British guy when she was packed with DEET. Like, all these things happen.
Yeah, did so it need to, though? Did it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, from my perspective, it does, because I enjoyed this story very much. I want these kinds of uncomfortable evenings where it is just this funny thing when you age out of anywhere. It's like that moment when you... I remember the first time I went to a doctor and I was older than the doctor, you know, and I was like 32 or something. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm older than my doctor.
Yeah.
And that's, these moments are so weird throughout your life.
It's a weird feeling. And yet the upside is you're like, oh, I'll probably outlive my doctor. That's a good thing. I won't have to find a new one in 10 years. there's almost this, did you get the sense that maybe the DJ was almost like he had built this world for himself, and even though he's like aged out, it's all he knew. Was that part of some of the, yeah.
I think there's some of that. There's a lot of that. Yeah. And he's sort of stuck in time of, I mean, I haven't really followed his work, but I don't know if any song has been as big as that one.
To have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That moment 25 years ago.
Yeah.
That's maybe not coming again.
Yeah.
Was he really a bad dancer, or was it just the...
No, we're just jerks. We're just jerks.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. No.
I do. I was lucky enough to travel around the world to all the offices of Wieden & Kennedy when I worked there, and they had an office in Delhi. And so, of course, we wanted to see the Taj Mahal. And so we took the 4-hour drive. And I remember... like just the 18 modes of transportation and, you know, like BMWs overtaking, you know, like these old trucks. And it was really, you know, 4 hours each way. And I remember when we got back to the hotel, they were like, oh, you should have just taken the train. it's like an hour. And but similarly, I'm just like, I'm so glad we drove because it was just so fascinating just to watch for hours, just... You know, the madness.
Did you feel like in those 4 hours you could understand the methodology of the honking?
Yeah. It was because, you know, there, again, these BMWs were going 70. Mm-hmm. there were horse, you know, people on like horse, you know, there was, yeah, it was just, but yeah, it felt so scary at first. And then you were just like, oh, everyone knows what they're doing. There is a logic to this or an illogic that everyone understands. And it, you know, it ended up being really, really fun. God, I think about that drive a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. And there was all these little stores kind of, they all had these like huge rusted Coke signs. Mm-hmm. It was really.
Yeah. It's, my cousin kept saying, like, if you guys want to drive while we're here, you should. And I was like, no. No. Like, I have enough anxiety driving, like, yeah, driving here and managing bike lanes, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah. Or my, you know, I live over in Southeast where, like, they're just, like, it's the constant, you mm-hmm. have to make room for everyone. And
yeah.
Actually, I think Southeast Portland is, and probably Northeast and different, is, like, one of the hardest places to drive.
Well, it's all those narrow roads are, like...
There's just not room for two cars.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Is that the last time you've really gone out and partied hard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the wedding was a lot of partying hard as well.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the wedding?
The wedding was insane. There was like, my liver is still trying to recover from that. Because it was like 5 days, each event for the wedding was like a full blown wedding that would be here, like with an open bar.
But five nights?
Five nights and like...
Five nights of wedding?
Five nights of wedding.
That's really something that many other cultures do right. Like, I feel like here in America, we spend so... It's like so much energy and time and it's over in like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was...
Yeah.
This was... It was quite an event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How else would you say it's like different from an American wedding? Like, American weddings also focus on... They've become this place where they focus a lot of them on more of the material aspects of it. Do you think it's more family focused with your cousins, cousin-in-laws there and everything? Or do you? How else would you say it's different?
I don't know if I can say quite like a broad statement of how it's different. Sure. Because within India, like, so this is my stepsister's wedding, which... They're Hindu and North Indian. My family's South Indian and from and Muslim. So our uh-huh. weddings are already like drastically different from one another.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think there's just more family involvement in the entire process. Like there's a sangeet, which like everyone in the family does like a little dance to. Yeah, it's there's just more incorporation of everyone, I think.
Yeah, 5 days.
Yeah, you've got to.
Did a DJ Punjab song come on?
Oh, I can't even, I'm sure. I mean, I don't, there was a lot of alcohol. I don't really remember, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you come home and do a liver cleanse?
Oh, yeah. No, I still don't drink now.
From that.
I'm still recovering. It was hard.
Yeah. As you're telling the story, like the very last bits of the alcohol are leaving your body.
Hopefully, we can only later.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Are you a wedding person, Frain? Do you like going?
Am I a wedding person?
Like, do you like going? Like, when you get an invite, and I know we're at the age where they're few and far between, but you're like, yes, or you're like, oh gosh, I gotta.
Have I been in my life? Have I loved? I do like going to other people's weddings. I really like to hear how people do their vows, you know? I like to hear what people say in those moments and then and reflect on that, you know? And like, I can think about the things I said in my wedding, what, you know, because I'm divorced. So it's like, what did I say that was real? Not real. in that circumstance, I'm sure I meant it all in the moment, of course, you know.
My favorite part are the toasts, and my favorite wedding moment of all was we were at a wedding we were in the back, you know, back table. And then, you know, you get up. And then for the toast, we just, I love the toast. So we just, you know, you can sit wherever. So we sat up front. And a brother went up to give the toast. And we're at the same table with him and the younger brother. And as the older brother's giving this speech, the younger brother turns to his partner and is just like, he stole my speech. He stole my speech. I rehearsed it for him last night and he stole it. And so there's the older brother giving the speech to the younger. And the poor younger brother had to go up next and he was just befuddled and was just sort of, ah, congratulations. But just that you saw this like, this had obviously been going on for 30 years. Just
my gosh.
Oh, just to be, yeah, it was great. All right. Well, hey, it's time for Bree's Hot Minute, brought to you by Powell's Bookstore Manager, Bree Hogue. Bree is now just getting home from a nightclub herself and has been listening intently on her Lyft ride home, and she's got some tasty book recommendations based on the themes from Alina's story.
Based on Alina's story of travel in India, I first thought of a book that I loved, even though it's not really lighthearted. Burnt Sugar by Avni Doshi is Doshi's debut novel about a mother-daughter relationship set in India. Tara, the mother, was wild and a bit of a free spirit, and she left her arranged marriage and brought her daughter Antara along for years of wanderlust. Years later, Tara is losing her memory, and Antara is now an adult looking to make peace with her past. This was shortlisted for a Booker Prize in 2020. It's a really good book, and it's a faster read for a medium-sized novel. For something a little lighter, I'm recommending The Shoddy Setup by Lily Vale. Rita, an Indian-American woman, signs herself up for a matchmaking site, hoping to prove that she and her current boyfriend are a perfect match. Instead, she gets matched with her ex. At the same time, her ex enlists Rita to help him renovate a beach house he's trying to flip. It's a funny and romantic comedy about family expectations and finding your way back to where you were meant to be. It's a good beach read or something to read for a lazy Sunday.
Thank you, Bree. Alina, where can people learn more about you?
The internet seems like a pretty good place.
That's a good start.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm really going to promote anything, is that I have an Instagram account that I started during COVID and then I dropped. That's all about a carrot and different dioramas.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know about this.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Yeah, it's at Femme Carrot.
Femme Carrot.
Yeah.
At Femme Carrot.
At Femme Carrot.
All right. That's what I'm going to be doing this afternoon. Amazing. Okay. And then before we get to our last question, this is usually Frayn does this, but I think we've lost her to the Zoom gods. So if you listeners, we appreciate you so much. If you would kindly rate us a bunch of stars or subscribe or share this episode with a friend, we would really appreciate it. All right. So our final question is, what is something seemingly banal that might not bother other people that makes you unhinged?
Fingernails of any length of significance.
On fingers or off fingers, anywhere?
On people with long fingernails.
With long fingernails. Okay. Yeah,
it really grosses me out.
Wow. Okay. All right. What do you, yeah. I mean, there is a lot of that in the world.
Yes.
You just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
We had Britton Taylor on not too long ago. His answer was long hair. So I feel like the two of you could be on the, you start a squad just on the lookout for these infractions. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we keep
them tight. Keep them short.
All right. Will do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Alina.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Frayn. And thank you to our fabulous behind-the-scenes editor and producer, Julia Oppenheimer. Frayn Masters is executive producer. Frayn Masters and myself are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Lost Lander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Powell's Books and Kiln Coworking Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded this show at X-Ray FM. Find them online or 91.1 or 107.1 here in Portland. You can also find more info about Andrew, Frayn, and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. And thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye. Woo.